Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Hesul Gabirur. Gerencsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Gerencsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyát!
Hey, what's going on there, sexy people? This is Beastcast number 10. Yay, we made it to 10. We're in the double digits. Holy freaking crap, that is insane. I don't have too much specialty things to do, but I have a couple of things to do to talk about. Basically 10th episode. Whoever is listening, whoever is enjoying this, I'm really happy that you are. This is really just a hobby thing of mine. And today's topics, we're going to talk about what I've been playing, and it has been Left 4 Dead. Also, I played this weird little simulator game called Constructor. Also, a couple of role-playing topics. And then we're going to go to Kaiser's Crazy Corner. It's basically when I go and talk with Kaiser about stuff. And I hope this will be a worthy 10th episode. And it's might not come exactly on Thursday, but definitely not anymore in Europe since already is Friday, 1 a.m. Ooh, yeah, I'm gonna play the game. Anyway, before I get into the topics, here's a little song. I just want to remind you that I've got a Facebook. Well, yeah, well, this is more of a joke for CF. He will get that. Very insider joke. But yeah, you can also check out my Facebook and just like it and see when I'm doing updates or what kind of YouTube comments I do or whatever I decide to put on there, because I have only 9 likes and I want to be liked more. Shameless self-promotion, but since this is my podcast, I can do whatever I want. Well, more or less. Anyway, we're going to be talking about Left 4 Dead, is the game that I've been playing recently, Left 4 Dead 2, to be exact. And I before I recorded this session, I got the Confederacy of Crunches achievement, which is the name of this episode, which means I have finished a campaign. I survived the command, that's how they call it. A mission, I survived it with only using melee weapons. Now, I did the mission on easy, which is kind of a cop-out, I know. Still, it was somewhat challenging because I was very tempted to use my pistol, my rifle. I'm not sure if you are not allowed to use bombs, because I haven't. Or did I? Well, I did try today. We played with the CF, and we did try to finish a mission, and we would have finished it, but you know, he got fed up, and I can understand. And I was just trying to get this thing, so that's out of the way, so guns are back in fashion again. Left 4 Dead 2 is a really cool game, but it kind of got same-ish, kind of like, you know, I did prefer Left 4 Dead 1, but the reason why I got back is because CF introduced me to the modding community, and it has a bunch of characters. You see the image for the podcast, it should have a screenshot from my recent game that I played. And one of the recent games I played, and basically you can see Nick, the guy, the gigolo dude, he is Rorschach now. You can replace basically characters with completely new meshes. They still do the same have the same voice. There is also mods where you can replace the voice, but they're rarer. And it's just nice to have new characters, because it's almost like you have a new storyline in a sense. You can just make it up. So instead of the normal survivors, we had Rorschach, Terminator, Predator, and And Riku from Final Fantasy. The only reason I have Riku there, not because Final Fantasy X, I believe. The only reason I have her there is because she's the only interesting female character that I recognize other than Bayonetta. And I did have her before. I had an other combination before. And the thing is with Left 4 Dead 2 is the mods are very easy to install. You just put them in the specific folder, double-click on them, and say yes, and they got installed. That's it. Then you can go into your game, and you can activate them. And you can activate specific mods, so you can put a bunch of mods and activate or deactivate which mods you want or not want. And I started with there was my first setup for the characters, because I just love the different crazy. I never take, like, you know, boring characters where they just take the main character and change their t-shirt. I always like to go with the really stick out like a sore thumb kind of mods. So I had RoboCop at one point for Nick. And the team up I started with was RoboCop, Kermit the Frog for Alice. That game you might see one day on CF's channel. He did record it. But the difference is, the fun part is, you will see it with his setup, and he's got different characters. Then the chick is Bayonetta, you know, the big jiggly boobs girl with the symbiont hair. Who is apparently some kind of symbol of feminism in the eyes of female empowerment in the eyes of a game overthinker, but that's what he does. He overthinks games. Not that I played the game ever, but I do find the character design somewhat interesting, although her head is kind of weirdly small, so they did change her design somewhat, and she does look pretty good in there, and pretty good mesh, I must say. Well done work. RoboCop is pretty cool too. But there's no, when you see it in first person, it's just Nick's arms. So some of those, a couple of the characters that are really cool, they don't have first person arms. That's how they call them. which is kind of sad, but, you know, it's not the end of the world. I basically had RoboCop, Bayonetta, Kermit the Frog, who was Alice, which I find... Bayonetta was the chick, Rochelle. And then, as the fourth guy, Coach was Duke Nukem. Yeah, a pretty good Duke Nukem skin. I think they just copied the Duke Nukem skin from Duke Nukem Forever, I believe. Or did, you know, maybe they made it from scratch, I don't know. But it's cool because you just imagine all the different stories, how they got together, like why they're fighting zombies now, why does Bayonetta doesn't have her magic oil. You know, I know it's kind of silly, but I think it's a fun idea. So that's what's kind of brought me back. There's also weapons mods, and I installed a couple of survival maps. We've been playing Panic in Pallet Town. There is an older video of CF where he's playing Panic in Pallet Town. And, yeah, we did record a couple of games in there. We also have Left 4 Lego. And there's one that I want to play and I want to record. It's called Left 4 Evil Dead, which is a map based off Army of Darkness mostly. And there's also a skin for Ash, like how he looks like in Army of Darkness, you know, without the hand and the chainsaw. Like when the left arm is a stump, and the reason is this: if you use a chainsaw, it does look like you would have the chainsaw hand. But it's really weird when you're, because also in first person, they made his arms and everything, and he has a stump, so he's kind of weird how he's like reloading a gun with a stump. They could have done like the gauntlet hand that he had, that he made for a while, but whatever. It's a really fun mod, and it has the sound and the pictures of Army of Darkness, and it's really cool. And playing it with Ash was cool. There was also the sound bites, like this is my boomstick and all these things. And the cool thing was a lot of the melee weapons, because that's one of the things. There was a couple of variant melee weapons where it was the same melee weapons, but they changed the meshes for them, so they looked different. They looked like medieval weapons, like, I don't know, the mace. I mean, the crowbar was now a mace, and the katana was now a sword and shield. But you had still the other normal ones weapons, so it was quite ingenious to just at least visually have some variety and some fun factor. Like, you could also replace the zombies, the infected, with skeletons, you know, like in Armory of Darkness, but I didn't do that yet. It kind of looked goofy in my opinion. Some of the zombie replacements, the one that I'm interested in is the one where it replaces it with xenomorphs from the Alien movies. Because then it would be cool to play with predators, you know. Even though you don't have the predator weapons. But then again, why am I playing this? Then I could just play Alien vs. Predator, which I have. I have the old version, which is called now. The newest, they came out with a bunch of versions of that, the first PC game, not the Jaguar game or the Super Nintendo or the arcade game. It's the PC first-person shooter, which is actually very similar to the Jaguar shooter, only it's better. It's just called Alien vs. Predator, and you can play an alien, a marine, or a predator, just like there, and it's really cool. And in multiplayer, it's really fun, too. You can also just play multiplayer. Like, you can play co-op against the aliens. You can play with a marine, with the different types of marines that have different weapons. Or you can also just play a predator. So you could have, like, two predators or two marines or, like, multiple of those. There's also versus, of course, deathmatch. And they have released the newest version, which they released a couple of versions of the game. It was, like, Alien vs. Predator Gold. That's one of the versions I had. And now they released Alien vs. Predator 2000, which is the version that is now on Steam. And that version is supported in Steam multiplayer. So when you go on multiplayer, you can play. You don't have to set up anything. There's usually a game going. Not that many games, but you usually will find a game. And you can start a game easily, too. And it works really well. There's virtually no lag. I don't know where these games were done from, but there was pretty much no lag since it's a pretty old game. The Alien vs. Predator shooter series So, as you see, it was like, in a way, the second remake already before you have the newest remake, which is more like it should be called Alien vs. Predator 3 because you had Alien vs. Predator on PC, which was really good. Then you had the second one, which was okay. They did add more variety to the aliens, and they toned down the predators were very unbalanced in the first one, but they were unbalanced in the movies, you know. I mean, fucking, they would be throwing Arnold Schwarzenegger left and right, and you know, that black cop in the second one, and you know, you got the AVP movies. I know a lot of people hate those, but I'm not saying that I like them. The first one definitely is. The first half hour of the first one's definitely lame. And the whole thing that the predator respects the chick just because she's a chick, like I would have rather not because she's a chick, it's more like that she Jerry Terrifying said this really well. She's a mountain climber and she for some reason gains the respect of the predator, which you have to be some kind of big ass warrior. So you would have to be like literally L Ripley from the Alien movies to gain the respect of the Predator, because Ripley has kicked some alien ass left and right. She killed a, you know, she fought and killed a queen alien, which in the movies, I'm not even sure. Did any of the, well, they had Pred aliens, which I do like that they introduced in the second one. The second one was just a big dumb action horror movie, and I loved how it was rated R. You had random deaths. People who you thought wouldn't die died. The Predator was pretty badass, and you had basically from the first one, the alien infected the Predator, and then you have the Pred alien. The Pred alien looks quite a lot different than from the Alien vs. Predator game, but it's not such a big deal. They still look pretty cool. And, the Pred Alien was also quite powerful in the AVP games, so I'm really happy that they did introduce that the idea that aliens can infect any. Like, when they infected the dog in the third one, then the alien was somewhat more dog-like. It wasn't really a dog alien, but it was different. In the toys, alien toys, they went with that way more. There was, like, spider aliens, there was a king alien that was. Had wings. My friend had a bunch of those, and we actually traded a couple of them. They were really cool, but for some reason, the military toys, the Marines, they were banned in Germany because there's some kind of weird law that banned the military toys for some reason. Just kind of lame. But anyway, anyways, well, I'm talking about AVP just because I have a skin there. In Left 4 Dead 2, which is a good game, so Confederacy of Crunches was not easy to achieve, but I did it. And yes, I did it with easy, and it was the first campaign, so and I did play it a lot, so I knew what I had to do. Still, it was fun, and I did it. You know, there wasn't anything play through a campaign with melee weapons in normal. You know, I did get it, so whatever. I know you PlayStation guys, you got your trophies and whatever, and you Xbox 360 people, you have something too. But us on the PC, we got basically Steam with our achievements. I know that there might be some other. I don't know what if the Sura has achievements. I didn't notice. I think there is the ranks or something, but I don't know. This Sura. The only reason I've installed the Sura to play a couple of my Humble Bundle games. I don't know. I don't know, like, for example, CF did something really cool. He's been tracking his game progresses from different games, so he could also track games that are not Steam games, you know, or even console games, and he has some kind of program, some kind of office program or whatever he does it with. And that's pretty cool. And so he wants to basically list every game that he played through. And we actually finished the final main campaign in Left 4 Dead 2, although they added now all the campaigns from the first game. So basically you can play the first game with the second game, only you have like the extra infected and you have close combat weapons, but pretty much it's the same thing, which I find is kind of a cool idea, but it kind of makes Left 4 Dead 1 superfluous, although I'm pretty sure people still play Left 4 Dead 1, and I will play it again because it has a special feeling and a special place in the heart, you know. Anyway, let me see here. Yeah, I also played this interesting game called Constructor, and it's this just this little game. It's you know, it's a simulator game, but it has this kind of edgy feel to it. Like you're supposed to be, you're basically a contractor. You build houses and rent them. I don't know if you're like a mayor, so I don't think so. You just build houses and rent them, and you have these weird tenants, and it has this cartoony, very old school 3D pre-rendered 90s graphics. Like if you're somebody who aren't used to those graphics, then you might dislike those. I personally like them. The game is somewhat complex, but if you played SimCity or like Settlers, it's not Settlers per se, but it has a couple of elements of it. Basically, you build houses and rent them out, and then you can change. The tenants, they will always complain about little things, knickknacks, like they want a tree, they want a new fence, they want an updated house, they want lower rent, and they will bug you about it. But the interesting part is that you can also build weird other buildings. Like, you can upgrade. There is, like, some kind of weird council that basically tells you when you can build now some. You start out with wood shacks, you have a wood thing, and then you can go on to cement and so on, then goes to brick, and then you can always build more buildings. And basically you have to like build one building of every building type, and then, you know, have your tenants happy, I think, for a while. I'm not quite sure, I haven't played it that much. But the fun part of the game comes later when you build the specialty buildings, where you can hire different units, in a sense, because you have an enemy, and you can, you know, you can in a way attack them. You can sabotage their town in ways. Like, there's a, what is it, a, well, how do you call those? Pawn shop, where you can hire this dude. He's basically a thief, and he will go and steal different stuff like wood or concrete and stuff for you, or just mess with their stuff. And you can also like build a, for example, commune, and you can get hippies. But you know, when you have too much crime, it's not good, because they come and get your stuff. You can also get cops, although the fun part is it's not enough to build the buildings. You actually have to have tenants who, you have to set it that they get kids. And the fun part is, yeah, there's different types of tenants. Like, you start out with the basic, the very low class, blue colored. The one are called the greasers, the other one are called the blobs. And the blobs are kind of these, whatever. They're just the lower class. And then you always get better. You, like, the higher, better you are, the better tenants you get. But they have to, like, you have to, like, set it up so they, you know, get babies and stuff. Because you play, like, you know, of course, multiple years. You know, not as many as, like, SimCity, but it kind of feels like SimCity, somewhat more realistic, a little bit, you know, it's very tongue-in-cheek, but realistic in the sense that people have always problems and stuff, so it's more micro. You have a smaller town, and it's more from the vision of the person who builds the building. Like, but these weird, you can also get the mob, and they can do stuff for you. Like, you know, the cops are good to keep order, but sometimes you want to get things done the wrong way because you need to win. And the mob can help you with that. And there's also, like, you can also hire later on. I've heard, I haven't seen them yet in action. You can hire, you can get these specialty buildings. I said the hippies, there's the pawn shops. I know there's these guys called psychos you can send loose and shit like that. I know there was also this one building that I didn't have enough tenants, and I had one building that I built, and it was awkward. It was just empty, and after a while, these cockroaches grew, and there were these human-sized cockroaches and stuff. It's pretty ballsy and tongue-in-cheek. It's pretty fun, but it's basically for people who want to play something like SimCity that is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but also still has the complexity of a sim. So, not recommended. If you're not into sim games, don't bother with it, but if you're an old PC fan like me, and it's a game that I've seen in magazines and I always wanted to play it, I'm gonna spend more time in it. It's worth trying out. if you're like into these sim games or building games, go to GOG, just see it. I think it's only $5, so. And you can also maybe wait till it's there's some kind of there's almost every weekend there's some kind of game that is put down. The GOG is really awesome, and I'll put down the price is lowered for some reason. You know, maybe it's a specific brand, whatever. You get what I mean. Just like with Steam. Okay. What else? Okay, that was computers, video game stuff for now, and we're gonna continue with another song. And we're back, and this is a song I just put in, since this is this 10th episode. This is a song that was recorded by my brother, nonetheless. and Zoltán Rigvary, and he recorded us way back, years back, and he, just for fun, like, when we were kids, we had NES, and we would play it all the time, and I remember Mega Man 3 had this really awesome theme song. I know, everybody's talking about, like, the... But for me, it's the... And just simply, there's the Mega Man logo. It doesn't get any better. Yeah, I know, the whole tower going up. That's pretty awesome. I'm not saying that, but... Mega Man 3. And my brother, just... He's a piano player, and, he does that as a job. And also for fun, of course. And... Way back in college, he just decided to record Mega Man 3, the title song, but in a jazz version, you know. And, yeah, and then he uploaded to some of his friends, or somebody, or he did, uploaded to OC Remix, where they remix different video game and computer game music, similar, well, no, 8-bit Collective is different, but whatever, it's similar, no. Sadly, 8-Bit Collective, for some reason, is still down. I hope they will come back soon, and I'm pretty sure guys like CF and whatever are hoping to do. Anyway, that is an awesome song, I think. Not to toot my brother's own horn, but I think it's pretty sweet. I should do some kind of video with this. Maybe I will. We'll see. Anyway, let's get back to the topics, shall we? Okay, let's talk about some role-playing stuff. Today is going to be the final Mutants and Masterminds DC adventure game. Basically, the heroes from the DC Universe, Golden Age, and the Golden Age Marvel heroes are fighting against a Adolf Hitler who has the Spear of Destiny. I don't know, I think he's from the Marvel Universe, and I think he already killed the DC Universe Hitler. He wants to take over the world or something like that, or he fused with them, and he... His power level is over 9,000. It's pretty interesting. I'm playing Dr. Fate. On the DC side, there's still the first Green Lantern. And he's known as Guardian, I think, and later. But whatever. He's the first Green Lantern. Not Hal Jordan. It's the one from the Golden Age with the purple cape. And where his ring is magic. His powers are magically based. And then we have... who's still on DC side, of course, Dr. Fate. And we have Hawkman, of course, who's pretty fun. He just wants to smash everything. He's more or less the DC's weaker Thor. Although his mace with the whatever magic metal it is out of is pretty badass. And who's still on the DC side? Would that be it? No, I don't think so. I don't think... Okay, whatever. On the Marvel side, we got Submariner. We got... I'm pulling a blank here, guys. Whatever. It's basically... pulling a complete blank. I'm kind of tired. It's not Captain America. It's the British Captain... Captain Britain. Can't think about it. Let me check fast and pretend that I have prepared myself really well. Whatever. You know, you love it. I thought I would have could say it by head, but anyway, it's a pretty cool game. World War II with superheroes, and the system works really well with it. Why am I not logged in? Should be logged in, but I'm not. And there were some really cool character moments, like Submariner was very much, I'm gonna go in, I'm gonna punch Hitler in the face, and that was his main objective. Like, me playing Dr. Fate, trying to play very logical, using magic, not trying to avoid straight-up fights. Funny thing is, when we met each other, this whole thing started, I missed the first adventure, but they were fighting each other, and then there was some kind of dimensional portal, and then they found themselves into this mountain range, and then they see this building, and both of the groups go in, but of course there's a big misunderstanding, because the evil dudes they do this very powerful illusion where everybody thinks they're some kind of evil Nazi villain. And there were some really funny, weird Golden Age Nazi villain names and characters that are just ridiculous. Not aged very well. Let me see here. Okay. Human. Okay, that's on the Marvel side. Union Jack. Is Union Jack Marvel? Yes. I think. Yes, Union Jack is Marvel. And you got Submariner, Human Torch, and then on the DC side, Dr. Fate, Hawkman, Green Lantern. Is that it? No, there's still. Is that it? Anyway, there's still other characters, but they didn't go through the universe thing. So it's pretty cool. Basically, the Invaders, whatever, and the Justice Society of America. I'm not too familiar with the Golden Age. I kind of know the characters. Haven't read too many of the comics yet, but I really should. Apparently, in the beginning, there was also Flash, Golden Age Flash, and Hourman, and some other dudes, and whatever. Not so important. It's a good game. They've been, basically, they managed to stop Hitler's, because he was basically rising in power level or whatever, but then Dr. Fate entered these portals and got these magical items that was helping him, and basically used the logic. So I actually got a couple of hero points, which is kind of like you can use to do a reroll, which is very helpful. That's kind of like I did like got two or three hero rolls, you know, and not engaging and not looking for the tussle, because that's Dr. Fate. He's very logical based, trying to follow order, because his lords are like the lords of order or something. I don't know him that well, but he's an interesting character, definitely. Because I was more... The first time I heard of Dr. Fate was when there was the big Marvel DC fight, and then afterwards was the Amalgam Universe where they fused for a while, and then you had Dr. Strange Fate, you had Darkclaw, which was Wolverine and Batman, which is insane. You had the Super Soldier, which was Superman and Captain America, which makes sense, and so on and so forth. And some combination that didn't make sense, like Lobo the freaking duck. And oh, Lord. And I love Lobo. And I really got to check out Howard the Duck, because I've read one in the Civil War comic, which was hilarious. And yes, in the Marvel Universe is always kind of the... My old roommate said it really well. The DC Universe is the big, straight-up brother that is successful, that does his thing very straight, you know. And then you have the Marvel. Marvel would be the younger, cheeky, crazy brother. Although, they kind of leveled out and are the big titans now. Because now you got the indie developers, the indie comics that just do the crazy shit, you know. But whatever. Anyway, this is a good campaign. It's going to be finished today, the big climax. Apparently, what is it? Mephistopheles from the DC Universe, the big evil. He's not Satan, per se, although Brian Michael Bendis might make you think differently, but Mephisto, he's a very powerful demon in hell. Like, I don't think he's one of the demon lords, but he's not Satan himself, or not necessarily Satan. He's not the lord of hell, because I think always hell in the Marvel universe is more universal, since not one religion is really dominant, because you have entities of all the different religions and in the Marvel universe, just like in DC universe, you know. Because, for example, a good example was which I really liked was when the X-Men were fighting Dracula. Kitty Pryde got a cross and showed it to Dracula. The whole point of the symbols was not the symbol itself, but it was the belief in the religion and in the symbol. So you could believe in, I don't know, whatever, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it's the locket of your grandfather, and you believe in that honor or something. At least that's how I see it. like, for example, Kitty Pryde being a Jewish girl, the cross really didn't affect Dracula, and then he started choking her, but then his hands burned because she had the Star of David around her neck, and that burned it because, you know, she doesn't believe in Christianity, but she believes in Judaism, so obviously. But then says, ah ha ha, I need belief behind it. And then, of course, there's the atheist characters that say they try the same, it doesn't work. And then you have the Nightcrawler, German Catholic dude, who's like, but I believe, and you know, it's kind of funny how they're throwing belief around and shit. Although the Phantion of the Marvel Universe is pretty much everywhere, although, like, how I see it, they have updated it, and, you know, the timeline has been always pushed forward. But it's like, how should I say? Because I don't not only count the Germanic gods, you know, because the Greek gods actually had a big effect. So they did exist in the Marvel Universe, but they basically, how it is, the Marvel Universe was always about the Norse gods, like Thor, and obviously, and Odin, and Loki. And DC Comics was all about the Greek gods, like, for example, Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel, although there was a version of Captain Marvel, which was Kazam, I think, and his powers came from the from Manitou, from the Native American god. But anyway, either way, the Greek gods were more powerful, but that didn't meant that, like, for example, in the Marvel Universe, Greek gods never had power, never existed. They did, because Marvel has actually their version of Hercules. And I don't know that much about him, but he got, like, revamped recently. But Hercules is one of the last, at least, demigods of the I think there's Hercules and then there's Ares. And they're like, Ares is the last true Greek god, because the Greek gods decided to move away from the world. And I think they did it in respect for DC, to let DC mess around with the Greek gods. And that basically, so that, and DC does the same, you know, they don't mess with, I don't even know if there's any northern gods or heroes like Siegfried or something in DC Universe. There might be, but I think it's basically the same excuse. The different Phantions have, and there is, could be a combination, because you could even say that the Greek Phantion and the Norse Phantion are basically the same, but they just are interested. One is more interested in the Marvel Universe, the other one is more interested in the DC Universe. But that's a theory I have, so, you know, people, there might be a separate Norse Phantion, and they might be inside of the, but I mean, they're seen as separate universes, you know. I mean, even in the Thor movie, it has been shown that it's the different realms, you know, with the ice giants, and then you got, of course, the different aliens, and so on and so forth. Oh, man. Again, back to Avengers, man. That, as I said, that movie, I really need to make something before the hype totally dies down. But it still hasn't, completely, at least. And it's still going strong, so. Anyway, still will be talked about for a long time. But anyway, so that's the game. Rambled on about it way too long, but whatever. I'm not in a hurry, really. That's good old fun. I might want to see to try different games, maybe with established or maybe with original characters. I don't know yet. I've been checking out D20 Modern books lately, and they looked really cool. I mean, there's different ways you can play it. It's basically D&D with guns. But it's not that simple. I mean, it's like you can play it in different campaign settings. They have different ideas. Like, the main one that most people are familiar with, which is the big one, is Urban Arcana. Which is like, it's like our world, but an alternate universe where all the different D&D races and monsters exist. And it's a knowledge. They live with us in the city and, you know, almost like if D&D, if the world of D&D would be in our time, but I don't know if they just appeared, because they disappeared and then they reappeared, like in Shadowrun. Because it does feel kind of like Shadowrun, only not as futuristic. Although they have added, with D20 Modern, they have this, added a cyberpunk expansion, which adds a bunch of cyber tech and shit, and there's also a D&D Future expansion. D20 D20 Modern Future, which sounds, there's like an expansion called D20 Modern Future, and then D20 Modern Past. D20 Modern Past deals with the Enlightened Age, so not the Middle Ages. It deals with like 16th century to 19th century. So basically pirates and steampunk and everything in between. So, which is not much, that much. So, which is cool. And also with like I would say till our time, like also the till World War II. Because they have, and also pulp adventures and shit. So they kind of distill it into one, which is weird because they could have done also separate books, but still interesting. Also, D20 Modern Past, weird fucking title, Modern Past. How about just calling it D20 Future and D20 Past? You know, because modern is modern time, and D20 Modern Past, D20 Modern Future, which is basically science fiction where you have spaceships and shit, and modern is different because it's in today's times, you know, where. Anyway, so it looks interesting, and it's a very much, it's more of a mix and match thing, but it has a couple of separate, like you have Urban Arcana where the monsters exist, and then you have this thing where you fight the things that go bump in the night, kind of a Man in Black Special Unit 2 feeling, X-Files, you know. You can mix it and match it as and do the tone as you want. You can even do it in a horror style pretty easily, I see. I want to try it out, but right now we're playing the 3.5 campaign, and I want to play that for a while before I start, at least until people get sick of it. And yeah, I've seen also there's enough. I got an unofficial expansion for D20, for a D20 Modern, a third-party expansion for the D20 Modern Zombie campaign, the Zombie Survival campaign, which looks really interesting. And I wanted to do a zombie game for a long time, so. Anyway, that's pretty much all the RPG news and news in general. I'm gonna play another song, and then afterwards it's gonna be Kaiser's Crazy Corner. And yeah, it's basically just me and Kaiser talk about some stuff. I think we're discussing how a Nintendo versus Sega beat 'em up style game should be, which characters should be there and stuff. So yeah.
It's Kaiser's Crazy Corner. A diddle diddle, the cock, a diddle, the cock, went over the moon, and the little bat, the red one, the red, the Kaiser's food.
Okay, this is the Gaming Beast, and this is, I have here with me, the Retro Kaiser.
How are you doing, John?
I'm doing fine, Chachi, I guess, whatever. We've been talking about some crossover stuff, fights, who would win in a fight, you know, just generic nerd crap. So, we've been just talking about the discussion came to, eventually that there should be, even though I'm not the biggest fan of Smash Brothers, there should be a Smash Brothers where it's Nintendo versus Sega.
And we're sort of coming up with a set list for it.
Exactly, like how it was in DC versus the Mortal Kombat universe. Like there was a character matched up, like for example Sub-Zero versus Batman, or with Capcom versus Capcom versus Street Fighter, or Capcom versus Marvel.
Yeah. We were talking before we were recording, we have some rules set for this. Like we can't just say like. Bowser versus Eggman, that would be like too easy. So for interesting, we gotta like say characters, but they gotta be evenly matched thing, which should make the list interesting. Well, Mario versus Sonic, that's an easy
that
one.
That has to be, yeah.
Yeah, that's a given, as you said before recording.
Exactly.
With this list, it's a either love it or shove it list. Heck, you can write. Heck, I don't know if he lets people write into the show, but if you can come up with a list on your own, it'll make a good email topic.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely an email topic. You can write me in at thegamingbeast@gmail.com. That's thegamingbeast@gmail.com, or you can check my website, too. You can write me in whatever ideas, crossover ideas you have. Definitely, yeah. Also, check out the Kaiser stuff. He's always coming out with content. And... Okay, give a fast shout-out for yourself. Advertise yourself, Kaiser.
Didn't I do this on another episode long ago?
That was long ago.
Yeah, okay. You can look me on YouTube with Retroman Presents. I just recently changed my production methods for making videos. I actually use an actual video camera, not a crappy webcam. And so if you go into my Super Aquac page, you can download my podcast, which it's a complicated website name, and it'll be in the show notes.
It's going to be in the show notes. That's the Super Aquac, not Ultra Aquac.
Although it will be posted on there too as like link into the like. I don't want to get Ultra Aquac right now. That's something.
That's not. We don't talk about Aquac Ultra.
No, I'll talk about it. It's just a bit derailing from what we're talking about now.
Exactly. Anyway, let's go. So, Mario and Sonic. That's a given. Okay. Yeah. Next one. I will put up.
This one's another given. Luigi and Tails.
Yeah, let's do it. They both suck. They both are useless, pretty much.
I actually like Luigi, and I preferably pick Tails over Sonic.
I like Luigi, but I don't know. Like I remember as a kid when I played with my friend and he was really good at Sonic and I played Tails. I was just like barely keeping up, constantly dying. If that would have been Contra, he would have hated me because we would all be always failing or something. Yeah.
But I actually prefer using Knuckles over the both of them. Knuckles is a really cool character to use, but problem is he can't jump high for shit. That's what I've learned from him. Although he can't, he's a pretty good glider and a climber, and he's quite strong.
Well, that's his ability that he can fly. Okay,
not
next
fly,
one.
Thinking. What other games?
I have an idea. That is the given.
Sorry.
Wario versus Knuckles.
Yeah, but this is starting to. If we do something like that, it'll turn into too much, like just the Mario and Sonic thing again.
No. The reason why I'm saying that, because I'm not even a big fan of those, but. I don't even like the other characters of Sonic, but Knuckles should have at least in there. And since both are like kind of like evil versions of Sonic, and I know you're going to say, oh, there's this guy, this shadow, whatever, blah, blah. But we were talking big here, and they kind of came out in the same time, and I could see those face off pretty much. So they're using more dirtier tactics.
I'm thinking about using something with Wonder Boy, actually. I'm just trying to pick a character to go well Wonder Boy. I'm thinking another Mario character. This is the Sledge Brother.
The Sledge Brother? Okay. The guy who throws hammers?
Because with Wonder Boy, he throws hammers too, if you get a certain power up.
Okay. Then
Wonder Boy. That's an interesting, because nobody really chooses the Sledge Brother.
Is he an actual character? Because I don't play that much. I have almost...
Yeah, Sledge Brother's an enemy that's appeared to the first one, and he sort of appears from time to time.
Well, I always thought he's a cool character, because he was always quite annoying. He was more challenging in the Mario games, to be honest.
I think MarioWare was the peak of him, because they added so many different varieties of... Well, 3 and World, they added in the Fireball 1 and 3, and in World, they added in... more varieties, like they added in the football player ones, and the stomp on the thing and just makes fire come from the sky.
Okay, let's mix it up a little bit then. How about just an idea? How about Link?
Yep.
Versus one of the Golden Axe characters, and I would say Gilius Thunderhead.
Interesting.
They're both like fantasy, medieval fantasy type characters.
I was thinking about Link, but I was probably... Oh! Another thing with Golden Axe. There was a Golden Axe game that was a complete Zelda ripoff, too.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a good connection right there. So, it was Link versus Gilius Thunderhead.
Gilius Thunderhead or Axe Battler, the Barbarian. Because if you want to be exact, that Zelda ripoff had Axe Battler from the first two games, the Barbarian, as the main character.
We'll just say Gilius Thunderhead for now.
Gilius Thunderhead, because Gilius Thunderhead, he was in the first two games as playable characters. He was also in the third game as like a mentor. And he was in the what I call the fourth game or the second arcade game, which was the Return of Death Adder, where he was riding the giant because he was like older.
Oh.
And he sacrificed himself. And I thought Gilius is always the most prominent character of because he's definitely the best close combat dude. He has the best reach and the most powerful hits. Although he has the shittiest magic, but really, if you rely on magic and Golden Axe, then you suck.
Yeah. It's just as simple as having just infinite, magic, and you just spam one button throughout the whole game.
Well, the thing is,
I've actually, actually thought of one. Alex Kidd versus the Street Brawler from what's that game? It invades me. It's a game I know it's...
Double Dragon?
No, not Double Dragon. It was the Nintendo game that wasn't as well received as every other one. The one where it's just the two dudes fighting in the street.
Wait. It's like some kind of...
people are going to get waffled us for not knowing it, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, I know. I think that's like CF's one of favorites.
No, we know what the game is. It's just when the time comes to it, we forget the name. Because it happens when you... No.
River City Ransom?
No, not River City Ransom. It's not... I gotta have to look it up now.
Do the wiki magic. Do the wiki magic.
Yep. Urban Champion!
Yeah.
Urban Champion, okay. Street Brawler versus Alex Kidd. And it's a really unique choice because nobody will go for Urban Champion. And, his skill is fighting, isn't it? So why not put him in a proper fighting game?
If you're speaking of proper fighting game characters, I think Sega has somewhat the upper hand if you're just talking purely Nintendo. So we're not adding Capcom to that.
No.
Because then Nintendo
strictly
would fight. But the thing is,
characters and Nintendo characters.
Well, the thing is with Capcom is that they released their games not just on the Nintendo. They also released it on Sega and other consoles. That's a different topic of discussion.
So shall we?
That would be.
So do you have any other better matches for Alex Kidd?
Streets of Rage. Let's say Alex from Streets of Rage versus the guy from River City Ransom, Alex. They're both Alex.
Alex versus Alex. There you go.
Yeah, and they're both fighting game characters, and they both can pick up weapons, but they have slightly different strategies. Because you could say, oh, the Streets of Rage characters versus Double Dragon, but I would say rather Alex versus Alex.
Here's an interesting one. The dude from Altered Beast versus...
The Centurion?
Versus Donkey Kong.
That is a cool idea. You could have almost like three separate Altered Beast characters. You could have the Wolfman, or like four.
And not
even
to mention,
you could have
team up, Donkey Kong can just ride his back.
Exactly. You have the Wolfman, the Dragon Man, or the Bear Man. But you could also have it one character, and you could, and his big special move, he would be like Shang Tsung, who could shapeshift, you know.
Oh,
you,
terrible, enter it. Terrible load times if you're playing it on Saturn or PS1, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. Imagine Donkey Kong then riding the dragon, dude. That would be a little bit unbalanced, I think. But I think... The secret of Smash Brothers is that it's somewhat unbalanced, that you have some characters that are better than others, simply, or stronger in certain ways. Anyway, okay, that's a cool idea. Donkey Kong versus the Centurion. Mm-hmm. Basically, the furries fight. The other furries. Let's say, what could we still do? There is still... Okay, who would Samus Aran face off?
Samus. That would be a difficult one, honestly. But I reckon it could be done.
I know which one. It's either the guys from Gunstar Heroes or from, Alien Soldier.
Alien Soldier is a good one. I'm thinking, what other ones are there? The first thing that came to mind was actually Bob from the EA game, but that's technically not Sega.
It's an EA. I think that was released on Super Nintendo too, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah.
I would say the Gunstar Hero dudes. Red or blue.
I'll just put Red versus Samus.
Yeah, because I can't think. The thing about Sega characters, Sega would actually focus more on fantasy based characters. If you look at it, they're big names, you know. They did have characters that were in a science fiction setting that were successful, but not as many. Whereas Super Nintendo had more of that, although you could argue that with their JRPGs. Well, that's a whole different discussion.
Ooh, I'm going to say... every time I think Sega, the first thing that comes to my mind is probably the Mega Drive or Genesis. I keep on forgetting about there's other Sega games.
Yeah, but honestly, most people think that was their biggest... I'm the same way. There's still a Saturn and Game Gear or whatever.
There's quite a bit. I'm trying to think of something with Knights from Knights of Dreams.
Knights of the Dreams, I haven't even played that game, but it looks kind of like it looks actually like a character that could almost fit. It's like a revamped artistic Sonic. I don't know if that character is in the same...
It was done by Sonic Team. Same people. But the problem is, it's such a unique character, I'm having trouble...
It's its own thing, right?
So, I wonder if there's any other such unique Nintendo characters out there we could team it up with. Ooh.
Question. would you allow to use rare characters? Because then the whole thing gets interesting.
Only if they're
again.
Like Nintendo published ones, I guess. Like,
did Rare, I would say at least, Rare did most of their games, although with Rare I know for a fact that they have actually released games previously on like computers like the ZX Spectrum. But after that it was like Nintendo exclusively. Because if you put in Rare, then you can have the Battletoads and you can have the Killer Instinct characters.
Oh, I've got one. I've
you can
got
have fucking
one. Ryo Suzuki from Shenmue versus Ash from Pokemon.
Okay,
another interest. Like, come on, they're both walking up. They both walk around everywhere collecting stuff.
That's true.
And they both fight. Although Ash doesn't fight.
Ash just summons. Yeah. Creatures. I think I'm. Is he even in the
no,
in the game?
No, pretty much because everybody's like, technically Ash in that game.
It would be almost better if they don't use if they would choose the popular Pokemons instead.
Think
Ash of
was in Brawl, and he can summon a Charizard, Venusaur, or a Blastoise. I think that was the case.
Yeah, well, it's almost like with Pokemon, you couldn't just make a... I think they did make a fighting game, but like not a Pokemon-style fighting game where it would be actually a fighting game, where it would be in real time. So not the role-playing style fighting.
Oh, I'm thinking of something. The main character from Phantasy Star, which is pretty much any of them, because they're all pretty much the same hero, versus Roy...
mean every JRPG is the same hero?
You're gonna get hate mail from that dude.
I know.
And Roy from Fire Emblem.
Actually, yeah, sure. I guess.
It's more of like more medieval sword versus like futuristic sword.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could also thing is, like, other than Zelda, other than Link, I can't think of any, like, straight-up fantasy that is direct first-party, because Nintendo has relied on Square for the longest time until Square decided to be on the PlayStation. Square and, of course, Enix, and then eventually Square Enix. But you could have an entire game just based Square versus Enix, but it's kind of like a mute point since they're now Square Enix.
Here's one. Birdo from Super Mario Bros. 2 teamed up with Chuck the Head from that game. Chuck. You know that.
Chuck Rock?
Not Chuck Rock. No, not Chuck Rock. It's this one where there's this mummy running around using its face to kill enemies.
Oh, wait. I think I know. It's actually a pretty big Genesis game.
Decap Attack.
Decap Attack. Yeah. Okay. The thing is,
the attack's similar, but Birdo's got more of a range, while Chuck's got more of a close combat.
Which one is Birdo
the
again?
Transvestite that spits eggs.
Oh yeah, the one that shoots the eggs, right. And you have to jump on them.
And
right.
Chuck just uses his face to headbutt. Although he can acquire power-ups, but he's just pretty much strong using his face. While Birdo doesn't have any... Like normal... Like, without power-ups... Birdo has range attack, but doesn't have any close combat. Well, Chuck the Head has close combat, but doesn't have any range.
You know, that's a good matchup. But you know who I was thinking instead of the Gunstar Heroes, for the Gunstar Heroes, Contra. But I just realized that's Konami, so that doesn't count.
We should check that on the list. Chuck versus Birdo.
Chuck versus Birdo.
Chuck a Birdo.
It sounds like a weird dish at some weird
American
place. Can I have a Chuck Burrito, please, with extra barbecue sauce and green and blue cheese?
To me, it sounds like a weird way of flipping the bird. Chuck me the burrito.
I'm going to chuck you the burrito right here.
Here's one.
Who's there? Okay, Shinobi. Shinobi is easy. Shinobi versus... also, Genesis has... Sega has a lot of ninjas, but it would be Shinobi versus... what's this guy, you know? Most famous NES ninja. I can't think of the fucking names
the
now.
Dude,
it's
from
insane.
Ninja Gaiden?
Ninja Gaiden, yeah. Ryu Hayabusa.
There's actually a Ninja Gaiden game on the Sega console.
The problem is NES has a lot of the platform characters and whatever, but when it comes to, like, fighting characters, you know, actual fighting, there's almost none. So it would be almost like you would have to have, like, multiple names on the side of Nintendo or something.
Yeah.
Honestly, if it would go after me, I would throw in a bunch of names in the hat, but whatever. That's basically Mugen, then you can just play Mugen.
You can have, you can pretty much have, I don't know if you'd count Simon Belmont, but the Castlevania games on NES were pretty unique. Pretty much.
Yeah, but that's Konami, and they released also on the Sega.
Yeah, that's true.
At least a couple.
Who would you team Shinobi with? I know there's got to be at least something out there that we could team it with. We can go down.
Well, other than Nintendo. There's a couple of ninjas for that were on the NES, but there's only one that everybody knows, and that's the Ninja Gaiden ninja, which is... I might be saying that wrong, but is I think Ryu Hayabusa is either that guy or that guy from Strider. I might be saying something really wrong, and I will be hated. I'm already hated, because I said every JRPG main character is the same.
And it's 2 a.m. over here, and I can't be bothered, I'm correcting you.
I know it's not true.
I think the Shinobi ninja was called Joe.
Joe
Higashi.
What is Higashi or Hayamusha or something? I knew it pretty well because as a kid I loved that character. Like he was single-handedly make me love ninjas. Because that was like the first time I think I ever saw a ninja was in Shinobi.
One guy.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I think the first time I saw it was the Ninjor He-Man action figure.
I know who I can possibly team up with, Joe. The dude from Star Tropics.
Okay, I guess.
He's the ones that I can find that's closest.
Is Star Tropics... purely Nintendo?
Yes.
Isn't that Capcom?
No, Star Tropics is purely Nintendo.
It's an interesting fight, though. I mean, he's kind of a... The Yo-Yo is kind of like a nunchuck weapon. And he's pretty skilled, and he can jump around pretty fast. So he's kind of like a ninja, I guess. Will be a little bit of a stretch, though.
Yeah,
let's do it.
We're aiming for something interesting with this list, anyway.
Okay. Star Tropics dude versus Shinobi Ninja.
Here's some interesting one thing I remembered. A big chunk of Sega games actually appeared on the Nintendo, but in America under the more of the unlicensed.
Oh yeah, actually, you know that there's a NES port for Altered Beast that a lot
but
of people don't know
can
about.
Can we? We'll pretend that they didn't exist for this list to avoid.
Yeah, because they're very rare.
Yeah,
because
if this list would have Joe versus Joe. speaking of Joe and Mac, Caveman Ninja, which has got nothing to do with this list, so let's continue on.
Joe and Mac, Caveman Ninja, I'm pretty sure that's not Nintendo.
Yeah, I know.
I think that's Toei, although they would be kind of a fun... That would be a fun idea, the Caveman Ninja versus the Ninja Ninja. But we said strictly NES, so...
The dude from
Nintendo.
Comic Zone? Versus...
Yep,
versus
he's Sega.
Either Captain Falcon or Captain Rainbow from the ever-so-failed Captain Rainbow game.
There's actually another captain that a lot of people forgot. It's Captain Novalin. His power is that he has diabetes, and he has to manage it. That's the story. And the villain is in Way Up There. The Mountain Way Up There. That's the name.
I'm depressed now.
I would always say have a fighting game with every character that was ever made with that has Captain in front of the name.
Captain America versus Captain Crunch.
And then you have Captain Hook versus Captain Commando.
And you've got the Captain versus Captain Lou Albano.
There you go. Anyway, and you would call it the Captain Capcom Captain Fighter. Anyway, so okay, that's a good idea. I would say Blue Falcon, or Captain Falcon, mm-hmm. or whatever his name is, versus the Comic Zone dude. I like that. They're both kind of like comic characters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're slowly running out of characters.
We're gonna have to start scratching the ball of the barrel.
Yeah, I think so. We still have the... Well, Double Dragon, that's also... Is Double Dragon
no,
like Nintendo?
Double Dragon 1 and 2 are actually on the Genesis.
So yeah, it doesn't count. And I'm pretty sure it's not Nintendo. It's a third-party game, I'm pretty sure. Let's say, who is there still?
Yeah, who is this? Yeah, this is getting wiped out now.
Okay, there's still the psychic kid from the, whatever, the NES.
NES.
Is that his game name? Yeah, from the Mother games or whatever they're called. But he's not Square, right? Because he was in the games.
No, he's purely Nintendo.
So technically, the Mother games would be the only purely Nintendo role-playing games that I can think of out of the top of my head.
I can think... I don't know if you'd count Paper Mario. That's more of an action RPG than anything, isn't it?
Okay, but you could still fit it in, I guess. I mean, you have stats and shit, right? And you can level up. So I guess so. Oh, wait. There is a big, and I've almost forgot that, big Nintendo RPG game. Super Mario RPG, although it was developed
by Square. You're forgetting another one, dude. Pokemon.
Pokemon?
Pokemon's a it's more of a...
Yeah, but I'm like, is Pokemon really an RPG,
it's a fairly easy kitty one, but it's still technically an RPG, dude.
Okay, fair enough. Because theme doesn't have anything to do with RPG. It can be in any theme. That's what I always said. And there should be also more games with different themes, you know? But Pokemon, does your character actually level up or
just
your monsters?
The thing is, your character levels up in a way. That's what the Pokemon badges are for. Like, if you don't have certain Pokemon badges, your Pokemon above a certain level won't respect you and won't listen to what you say.
Okay, fair enough. I would say it would be kind of a simplified RPG.
It's a kid's game,
it would be
dude.
Like kind of if you would. Yeah, I know. I'm just kind of trolling, I guess.
Just bowling.
Just trolling, bowling. No. Okay. I don't know. Who could we? Who's there still?
Mm.
Have you been writing this actually? Awesome. Okay. Awesome.
So
okay. Ness, the psychic kid from
Mother.
I can't think of the American Earthbound Mother series versus. Can't think of. Maybe it could be the chick from Golden Axe, who I forgot her name.
I just looked. No, I just play the game and just hold up. I don't pay attention to her that much.
Well, the one, she has the best magic, so it would be kind
confusing Babel, I'm just going to add it to the list. I'm just going to mark her as Amazonian.
Amazonian, yeah.
Mmm.
This is the podcast where I can't remember the names. So her versus Ness.
You wanna, yeah, this is what we've got so far. We got Mario. I'm going by the Nintendo list first. In a game after so much bullshitting, we've come up with the Nintendo roster. Well, this ain't a full list. Well, not yet, at least. I hope it's not. We have Mario, Luigi, Wario, Sledge Brother, Link, Alex, Donkey Kong, Samus, Ash, Roy, Birdo, Star Tropics, Captain Falcon, and Ness. Then on the Sega roster, we've got Sonic, Tail, Knuckles, Wonder Boy, Gilius Thunderhead, Alex, Altered Beast, Red, Rio, Fantasy Star, Chuck, Comic Zone, Joe, and Amazonian. Now, if we were just naming characters without going through this game, I reckon the list would probably be a little bit more unbalanced, because we'll just be saying characters left, right, and center.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with these games, is that do you mean the main character, or do you mean any character? Because there's different characters you could pull out of these games that are quite overpowering and stuff. I mean, you know,
here's
like,
a bit of
when
a ridiculous
role-playing
stretch
game.
Echo the Dolphin versus the Nintendo Dolphin.
The Nintendo Dolphin?
It was a code name for
Does
the game.
Does that even exist? So it's basically Echo the Dolphin against a submerged GameCube. Wait. Isn't there a fish character? I know that there is a game. Well, Enix did one, and it was kind of an RPG game where EVO, you started and you would evolve. I haven't played it too much, but I ended up being like fish
or something.
It's basically
a really advanced version of Feeding Frenzy.
It's kind of like the first version of, like, you know, in Spore, how you start as like a one-celled thing. That's kind of what this game is, but like an early attempt. And it's kind of in an RPG style.
I'm
going to
say it. The swordfish. Yeah, I'm going to interrupt you. The swordfish from Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah. There you go. Because the Evo is Enix, and I don't think you just are a fish. Although you could also have, like, if you really wanted to have a stretch, Seaman.
Yeah, but then Seaman's... Yeah.
You know, it's the game where you can actually talk with the
Nintendo
guy.
Nintendo character.
I know. Nintendo doesn't like Seaman.
Oh, no! I'm going to do something. This is a complete dead end. Seaman versus Peach.
That is like rated
list,
R
though.
Version.
Seaman versus...
Okay, but it's... We have Echo versus the Swordfish
and
from Donkey Kong.
And Seaman versus Peach. Not in the way you'd think. <That's>...
Hint.
At least I didn't say the versus Princess Peach. Well, that would have been the same thing, really.
I would say almost the Ooze versus Plock, but Plock is then again a third-party game. Plock always comes up in the conversation. Or even better, the Plock versus Crash Bandicoot. But that's
Here's
again
another
totally
one.
Off.
The Samurai from the NES game Castle. I don't know if you know this game. I can't remember the name because it's all in Japanese, but I used to have it on Game Boy Advance, and it's one of my favorite NES games. I'll probably just do, keep it off the list because I can't remember anything about it to avoid confusion. Sorry for the tangent, dudes.
No. Yeah. Anyway, let's say. That's getting tough.
The three dirty dwarves versus another Nintendo trio.
Is Three Dirty Dwarves?
Yes, it is.
Sega first house, like. Okay, I would say almost the Lost Vikings, but it was Interplay and it was released on different systems, so it would have been too good though. The Three Dirty Dwarves.
This is better.
That's the problem. Nintendo has some really big characters, but they're lacking in other areas a lot. You know what? The Three Dirty Dwarves and the three of the Bowser's kids or something.
Three Dirty Dwarves versus Koopalings. Okay, I'm adding that to the list.
Yeah. Add that, yeah. Oh man, I'm trying to think of some.
On the spot, isn't it?
We have covered the three biggest franchises. We covered Mario, Metroid. Well, you haven't. We still have the villains Brain of Metroid. Eggman? No, but how about Kraid versus Eggman? Because they're both pretty fat, and Kraid, the green dude from Metroid. Well, in the first game, he's not green. He's kind of orangey.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's a stretch.
So was this. I was trying to make a fat guy joke out of the stretch.
We should do one more, and then we should finish this one. I really wish we could add Rare, but it's not Nintendo, and they did release it on other games on other systems. I mean, now they're just releasing on Xbox for the Kinect, whatever. What is a pure Nintendo character that they can think of still? We had already Donkey Kong. How about Donkey Kong Jr. versus
Donkey Kong Jr. is technically the Donkey Kong we all know and love today.
That's true. And Cranky Kong is the original Donkey Kong.
Was recording for a second.
Yeah, you basically played the game.
I gotta run to the toilet. Think, dude. Okay. Think.
Okay, we had a little break here. Probably I put in some music retroactively.
Ooh, someone dropped a coin.
Okay. Let's do one more fighter. One more matchup. What is still Nintendo that we haven't talked? Is there any franchise we haven't talked about from Nintendo's side? I think we covered most of Sega's big ones.
Let me think. We haven't covered. Wait.
There it is. Star Fox. And I know for a fact Fox McCloud was also in the games.
I was thinking Star Fox, but I couldn't really think of anybody to team him up with other than Sonic's already been taken.
We had already the Centurion from Altered Beast. Because that would be kind of like Wolf versus Fox, kind of. But there's two Centurions, so we could have another one. But that would be kind of a cop-out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. I have an idea. We had already Gunstar Heroes, but we didn't have Alien Soldier. We could have the Hawk dude from Star Fox and the Alien Soldier. He's also kind of an anthropomorph.
Falco?
Yeah.
Falco versus...
The alien soldier dude. Whatever his name is.
That's actually a really good one.
Yeah. And actually the fun part is in Alien Soldiers, a lot of the enemies are also like kind of anthropomorphic animals. It's basically the furry shooting game. Still a pretty good game, though.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty tough, too. Takes forever to get used to the controls.
I bet you we count like 100 more of these when we're off air.
But let's finish it up here. You could go on for a long time. Especially when you add in other companies, too. But I think we should finish it off here. Okay.
Okay. What's the roster? You want me to tell you the roster before we go?
Yeah, because I don't have it written down, because I'm lazy like that.
Okay. On Nintendo. I'm just going to go by,
I will do the announcement, and then you can tell it. On Nintendo side, we have
Mario, Luigi, Wario, Sledge Brother, Link, Alex, Donkey Kong, Samus, Ash, Roy, Birdo, Star Tropics Yo-Yo Dude, Captain Falcon, Ness, Swordfish from Donkey Kong Country, Peach, Koopalings, and Falco.
Okay, and on the side of Sega.
No introduction needed. Sonic the Hedgehog, Tails, he's bitch, Knuckles, Wonder Boy, Gilius Thunderhead, Alex, yes, another Alex, Altered Beast, Red, Ryo, Phantasy Star, any of them, because they're all pretty much the same hero, Chuck the Head, Comic Zone Guy, Joe from Shinobi, Amazonian from Golden Axe, Echo the Dolphin, Seaman, Three Dirty Dwarfs, and Alien Soldier.
Very nice. I think that's a pretty cool list.
Favorite one so far. Seaman versus Peach. Yeah. And Three Dirty Dwarfs are involved too.
Okay, one thing I want to add as the secret character is the guy from Running Battle. Running Battle. He has the best power-up ever. He sucks usually, but when you do his super move, he just runs through you and does maximum damage.
I found that. I just played that game randomly on a drunken whim on a flash cart, and the thing that tells the rest of the story by itself.
There's also, I did a partial playthrough. I thought I could get to the boss, but I got stopped by a Sam Raimi man.
Did you actually record it?
Yeah.
Was it around when I wasn't around?
It might have been, actually. So check my channel with the Gaming Beast Plays, and Running Battle is one of them.
I was just thinking, if it was something like that, I probably would have been the first person to know about that, but I'm guessing it was during
the I was actually disappointed that you weren't online, because I was also making it kind of for you, so... Just check it out.
I'll watch it after recording.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, this is the Gaming Beast and Retro Kaiser. Talk to you later, guys.
Later. Square. We'll be right back.
Now, you might like to switch off the tape now while you go and fit your plug, and then come back and turn it on again, and we'll carry on from there.